The Denver Broncos rise up five spots in the Locked On Podcast Network's latest power rankings after week one. We discuss whether we agree, disagree, take a look at a couple teams that are ahead of the Broncos, and we make the case as well. Not to mention Tim Jenkins of Jenkins Elite. He joins us to talk about Teddy Bridgewater's performance, and Pat Shurmur was in his bag, apparently. We recap that all today's brand new episode, Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back into a brand new episode of Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Locked On NFL Network. Your team every day from the South Stands to the end zone. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, joined alongside co-host Sarah Bettinger. Both of us, we cover the Denver Broncos for the Locked On NFL Network and Nine News, not to mention Locked On Broncos. You can get this podcast free and available everywhere you get your podcast, not to mention here on YouTube and video format. So it would mean the world to both Sarah and myself if you hit that subscribe button, if you love the daily content and coverage that we bring for the team that you root for on Sunday. Sarah, my man, hey, look, we got a star-packed show here today. We get to be joined by Tim Jenkins a little bit later. He's got access to the All-22, and look, I'm getting my hands on it as we speak. But, you know, he had a lot of great takeaways about Teddy Bridgewater's first game and Pat Shurmur that could give Broncos fans a little bit of promise. Not to mention, we got power rankings, my man.
I love it. I'm excited to hear what Tim has to say. And, you know, regarding the All-22, where there's a will, Cody, there's a way. And I'm thankful for people like you and Tim who find a way to that stuff. So kudos to you guys. And for the NFL, man, just get it back to all of us. You know, it's better for you guys. It's better for the NFL that we have access to the All-22. And, you know, there's no it's not a true NFL season, Cody, without power rankings. And we get to gripe about something. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, me too. And really, before we get into the power rankings piece, hey, just shout out to Peyton Manning and Eli Manning for their Monday night football cast. I don't think I'll ever watch the regular game broadcast ever again as long as they're doing it. That was pure entertainment. Not to mention, let's start off with this right here. First play, right? You know, Eli says, okay, Peyton, first play right here for the Raiders is going to determine what their season is going to be like. Derek Carr throws a pass. Wide receiver drops it. And he goes, okay, they're going to be 6-11. I lost it, man. I lost it. But obviously a lot of respect for our guy, your boy Q. He's fired up after the Raiders overtime victory. And look, that Ravens team, Denver's going to have to play them in a couple weeks. God, they looked good outside of some of the mistakes to make. Defensively, they look good. Offensively, there's a lot of questions. You know, a lot of it goes around containing Lamar Jackson. But we're not at that week yet, so we're not going to talk Baltimore Ravens, Broncos country. But, Sarah, let's bring up the latest power rankings over here, the Locked On Podcast Network, the Denver Broncos. They come in at number 18. Now, I want to say that last week, before any of the games were played, the Broncos were previously ranked 23rd on the power rankings. So rising up five spots here, I think, is good for Denver. I do want to provide a little bit of context, though, because everybody at the Locked On Podcast Network, they vote. And so they tell us, who voted the highest, who voted the lowest? Not who, but where the Broncos are at. The Broncos' highest vote that they received in the power rankings this week was 15. That's pretty respectable. I would take that. The lowest vote that they received in the power rankings was 25th. Sarah, you have a special cut, my friend. That's kind of how I feel right now about that 25th spot. Come on, man. Like, 25th? How can anybody watch the Sunday game and think that Broncos could sit at 25th in the power rankings this week?
That's a great question, Cody, especially considering, you know, Teddy Bridgewater set a franchise record with a completion percentage in a quarterback's debut, 77.8. We talked about that on the show. The defense looked pretty darn good. Von Miller looked like he was back to his regular form. They only allowed 7 real points in this game, although 13 is on the final score from Daniel Jones's garbage time touchdown, which, you know me, I don't count it. So, to me, Cody, I don't like whoever voted 25. I mean, I like them as a person, but I don't like that. I don't like that thinking. I think it's just kind of lame. I'm sure they looked at the box score. I'm sure they saw 27-13 against the Giants. The Giants are a bad team. The Broncos should have won that game. I'm not going to really put them all that high. You know, that's just kind of the way that I see it. And so I think that definitely if you watch the game, whoever was saying 15 is much closer to the accurate. You know, the Broncos were definitely good in this game. I can't say, oh, man, if they played like that against, you know, Kansas City week one, they would have dominated the Chiefs. They were just a good team. They weren't elite by any means in any regard, but they did really well. So I think 15, 18, where they landed ultimately is really respectable and a very solid rise from where they were previously at, which I think fair to say 23rd going into this, that's pretty much their draft spot, right? Ninth worst, something like that. So I think that definitely it's fair to have them rise, a handful of spots. Five spots is nice. I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, I think anywhere between 18 to 15, I think that's doable. Let's take a look at some of the teams that are ahead of the Denver Broncos. Now, Denver ahead of the Raiders in this regard here. But at number 17, the New England Patriots, who are coming off of a 17-16 loss to the Miami Dolphins, they were ranked 13th, so they dropped back four spots. But interesting enough here, and it's like the college football AP voting. I want to know who voted what. Somebody had voted the Patriots after this loss as the 9th team in the power rankings. Like, I don't understand it. And then the lowest was 26. So you have too high of a vote, and I think you have a little bit too far of a dip for a team like the Patriots. The Titans at number 16, and they were at 9 last week. So obviously the drop there. The lowest that they were placed was 25th, which is super weird. Wow. I don't know, man. This is the week one overreaction stuff that we see that we are talking about. The Miami Dolphins at 15, the highest that they were up there was 7, which too high in my opinion for the Dolphins. 25th, the lowest, which is weird for them coming off a win. So I think that people got to take your time. You're doing these power rankings. Voters. Look, I put my time, my effort, and energy into it. How I start things off in this, Sarah, is I start off with the bottom five, and then the top five. And then I go through the middle, and I work it out that way. It's easier that way. It makes more sense when you go back and you watch all the games. But, man, Broncos country, let Sarah and I know in the comment section on YouTube or on Twitter what you think about the Lockdown Podcast Network's latest power rankings after week one, where the Denver Broncos, they come in at number 18. I think that's very respectable. I'm okay for that for right now. The Broncos, you want to see them build and maybe climb that ladder a little bit here in the next couple of weeks, but can't wait to break down all the action. We're going to be joined here in just a moment by Tim Jenkins, CEO of Jenkins Elite. He's going to talk about Teddy Bridgewater's performance and what Pat Shurmur did as a play caller, how he involved in it. Maybe he's been watching his breakdowns coming up here in just a but before we do that, folks, I'm going to tell you about the sponsor of today's episode of the show. It's a good friends over there, betonline.ag. And we are back and better than ever. And all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action that you need this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. So don't forget to use promo code NFL100 to get access to that, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. We're feeling elite today as we're joined by Tim Jenkins, CEO and founder of Jenkins Elite. Does a lot of great work with high school athletes, pro athletes, and college athletes at the quarterback position in the state of Colorado, also expanding out in other states as well. And he's also our quarterback guru here for the Locked On Broncos podcast. Tim, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, my man. I know you've been making the rounds, right, since the Broncos game, and all these people want to know about quarterback. Well, guess what? So do we, my friends. So yeah. Teddy Bridgewater, let's waste no time. Teddy Bridgewater, a very strong first performance for the Broncos in the regular season. Very efficient, 77 completion percentage. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, that's not what we've not expected from Teddy. We've always known him to be a consistent guy, but what was it about Teddy's game that really stood out to you in Sunday's victory over the New York Giants?
I mean, I think you nailed it, right? He was super efficient. And I think what's hidden in that is, I think a lot of the league, if you didn't watch the Broncos game, would have heard Teddy Bridgewater complete 77% of his passes. They wouldn't have been surprised. But the way in which he was driving the ball down the football is what's the surprise, right? To be able to complete 77% of your passes but still drive, you know, dagger routes and blaze eights and all the stuff that he was sitting back there and ripping from the pocket, that's the impressive part. So I think when you look at it as a whole, the completion percentage was awesome. We know Teddy's an accurate guy. I more or less walked away from there laughing about his escapability, right? Because for me, I thought it was a real downgrade going from Drew to Teddy when it came to extending the play. And then all of a sudden, Teddy comes out and just absolutely stones a linebacker coming off the edge, right, and throws it back to KJ. There were some things that obviously I don't think we're going to really expect from him, you know, throughout the season. Is he going to be the guy that stiff arms linebackers to the floor? No. But I do think he did a lot of stuff just buying time within the pocket and then extending outside the pocket that, I mean, I think you got to be really excited about, because I think if you were talking about the offense as a whole, that was where some concerns were when you went with Teddy. but I think he alleviated damn near every concern that I think Broncos fans could have had.
He definitely did. I mean, obviously, you know, he set a franchise record completion percentage in a debut start. It's kind of crazy when you think about it that way. I mean, better than Peyton Manning's first game with the team, better than anybody in Broncos history. So with that being said, Tim, I mean, I know you've watched the game, you've seen, you've dissected. What do you think is something that Teddy needs to do better? Not to get straight to the negative. I know we start with the positive when we watch you, but what do you think he needs to do better based off what we saw in this game?
Yeah, I would tell you there were a couple. So one, I think he was processing at a high level, but there were some big misses. So, you know, the shallow route that he missed early, I was wrong. It wasn't Seahawk. Shermer was doing – so Seahawk is where, hey, your two slot receivers, one runs the shallow and then the other runs a deep hang. So it gives you that kind of cross. And then Seattle made it famous, so everybody called it Seahawk. What they were doing is they were running instead of the deep hang, they were angling him in and then running a sail route. So they were getting to Flutie in kind of a more creative way, but he still, regardless, he should have gone from the sail down to the shallow and hit the shallow. So he missed that first third down. He throws the go ball that on third and three, if you're going to throw a go ball, you better complete it, right? That's how NFL offensive coordinators and QBs look at it. So he missed that one. KJ Hamler, the underthrow, which again, like, you know, you watch it on tape. KJ's got to make that play too, right? Receivers make millions of dollars as well, but that's definitely an underthrow. The one that I think ended up popping on tape as kind of the worst one for me was they have what's called a Colorado route, which is, think of it as a sluggo, but instead of slant and go, it's slant then to speed out, right? It looks like a C. That's why we named it Colorado and the West Coast stuff. You want to throw the Colorado route against cover three. There's not a corner in America that can see Sluggo bail out of there and then drive back down when the guy's on the speed out. So Colorado's ideal against cover three. They get cover three. It's kind of a hybrid look, and I think it fools him. And he really needs to throw the Colorado route there. So there were some processing things that still, right, hey, we're going to work on. But, you know, listen, I went back and watched the Broncos – or not the Broncos, the Bucks-Cowboys game. And – Dak Prescott and Tom Brady both had extremely good football games, and they still miss certain things in certain situations. So in terms of, hey, let's keep it relative, like there's a lot of guys that are going to miss certain looks, and that's why defensive coordinators also get paid money, right, is to make these guys get off a certain progression. So I'd say those were the kind of the three from the bad that really stuck out to me.
Was one of those plays or two, the one to Noah Fant, where if he floats it, he catches him in stride? Which one was that that you were referencing there?
I didn't talk about that one. That would have been the, like, we called it, like, why shallow special right off of Seahawk, and he just missed that one. That one, you know, it's hey, you got to the right spot, heck of a play call, but you need to just throw it better. So that was, of course, that was, you know, I'd say you're right. There were probably two bad underthrows, right? The KJ Hamler on XZ Reed. And then that, you know, the shallow that they turned vertical on the Seahawk look, that was also less than ideal. He just, like you said, he needs to touch that thing up, right? You know, we talk about the levels of throwing. Hey, level one is you drill it. Level two is a little bit of touch. And level three is that full drop shot. To me, he's just got a level two it, and he tried to level one it, and it hit the DB in the back.
Man. Well, you know, the thing I liked about Teddy is, like, you know, when he does his fakes, like his pump fakes, his pump fake game was on point too. And on that play that he kind of underthrew Noah Fant, he pump faked initially, got free, and then if he just floats it, you know, it is there. You know, and I think that's the beautiful thing, Tim. And I'm glad that you said it, because I feel like a lot of people, a lot of fans in general, they're perfectionists in the sense of, well, he missed this. Well, you know, ideally, I don't think you're ever going to have the perfect first game. And as you mentioned, guys like Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, I think what we saw from Teddy commanding a young offense, by the way, that lost Jerry Jeudy, we were impressed from the standpoint of his leadership ability. And, you know, I also want to talk to you a little bit more about Pat Shurmur and Broncos country. We're going to ask Tim about Pat Shurmur, his game plan, and whether or not he's been actually watching Tim's breakdowns this offseason. Coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, let me tell you about the two sponsors of today's episode of the show. That's our good friends over there, DirecTV Stream, and our good friends over there at Built Bar. And DirecTV Stream, Sarah, let me ask you this, my friend. We've all had the instance in our lifetime where we have borrowed somebody's login account information just so we could get access to movies, sports, or even TV shows that we love. What if I told you that you don't have to do that anymore with DirecTV Stream, because now you get all that in one place. And I want to tell you, we can get all the entertainment where you can get your TV together, and that's DirecTV Stream. It brings you your live TV, your on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and TV shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there is no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more by going to DirecTV.com. Once again, that's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. And Sarah, our good friends over there at Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. The bars, they are soft. They're easy to chew. They're covered in 100% chocolate, and they taste delicious. They have 9 amazing, delicious flavors, including the occasional limited-time flavor that you can get access to at Built.com. And, Sarah, you know, one benefit I like outside of the really good-tasting Built bars, the peanut butter brownie. I know you said that's starting to creep up in one of your favorites alongside with the mint brownie that you have currently in your fridge. But I also like Built Bar because it's healthy for you. You and I know we both work out a lot. I usually have a Built Bar before I work out. Sometimes I have it after a workout because guess what? When you extend and you know, stretch those muscles and ligaments, you need something that's going to help your body repair. And sometimes a perfect combination of protein and a little bit of a dessert is good. 17 grams of protein on 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar. That is Built Bar. And you can get your hands on a box of Built Bar today by going to Built.com. And when you go to checkout, use promo code LOCK15. That's going to get you 15% off your next order at Built.com. Once again, 15% off your next order at Built.com when you use promo code LOCK15. All right, Tim, I'm going to let Sarah open up with this just because I asked you the last question here. But Pat Shurmur, I mean, obviously he's the subject. So Sarah, I'm just going to alley-oop that to you like Dwayne Wade used to do to LeBron James, and I'm going to let you dunk it, my friend.
Oh, man. That's a sore subject for me, Cody, because I'm Bulls fan in 2010. You know, 2010, LeBron spurned the Chicago Bulls, but no, in all seriousness, Tim, I mean, we talked in the preseason. You told us about, you know, preseason, you're doing a lot of meat, potatoes, the main dish and the main sides. So what was it? You know, maybe some dessert, maybe some specialties that we saw from Pat Shurmur in this game against the Giants.
So, one, there were a lot of just, hey, we saw this in the preseason and we saw it again. So XZ Reed, they hit the Minnesota touchdown on it. Boom, we saw that twice in Sunday's game. Then all of a sudden, the pepper with the Blaze 8. Do you guys remember they hit Cortland Sutton on it in preseason game 3? That post that then turns to a speed out? Well, yes. Guess what? They throw it to KJ Hamler to seal the game this week, right? Like, there were so many things that it was just like, oh, we run this, and it was in this, and then we dress it up a little bit. So the best ones, though, were what we just talked about. The one that Teddy missed, the shallow that turns up, that was the best because the Broncos run so much Seahawk, which is that concept we explained earlier, that now they have the one-off of it, right? Which is the, hey, we're going to run shallow and then turn it up. What I would tell you that I was almost, I don't want to say more impressed with, but I was equally as impressed was the Giants had a very, very, very specific look against the Patriots in game 3. Which was, if you get into 12 or 21, we are going to spin down into bear, and we're going to play you in single high. The Broncos then come out in 12, force them into single high, and just start drilling all these single high beaters. Which to me, it's like, dude, that's so exciting that Shurmur was like, you know what? I don't think this is a preseason BS thing. I think this is their base D. So you know what? We're going to show it. We're going to come out in 12. We're going to force you to get in a bear and spin to single high, and we are going to annihilate you. He had it dialed up for easy stick completions when it came to third down conversions. He forced them into single high and then hit Dover, unfortunately, the play that Jerry gets hurt on. So to me, it's like, dude, from what I saw from Shurmur, it was one of those things where it was like I was so hard on him last year when I started breaking him down. I was just like pretty honest about like this isn't that creative. I have to 180. The dude looked like he spent the whole offseason saying, hey, I can either run what I've been running my entire life and end up finding another job next year, or I can adapt to everything I'm seeing. And honestly, Shurmur after week one, there were two guys that after week three, if you count McVay, but there were two guys that stood out after week one when I watched the tape, and it was Pat Shurmur and Kellen Moore. Right? The Cowboys OC. So of all the people on planet Earth, I'm sitting there saying, you know what? Pat Shurmur might be a head coaching candidate after this year if this keeps up. Just because he innovated in a way that like the only guys you're seeing are really young and McVay doing it, right? Like, so to me, I was just like, man, it was a really special performance that he put on from a game plan perspective. And then obviously Teddy went out there and executed it.
Well, you know, talking about evolution too, and I'm glad that you mentioned that about Pat Shurmur. It's great to see him kind of make these transitions. Now, I think the key is, and you're probably looking for this as well, does he maintain that in week two? Does he continue to evolve? Does he continue to build on the things that are working for Denver? And Jacksonville, I think, should be a good matchup for the Broncos to open things up, I think, a little bit more. In your opinion, going back and watching the game tape, you know, we saw the Broncos pass a lot more than I thought that they would. Was it just because they're not able to run the ball against the New York Giants, or do you feel like because of how the Giants lined up, Pat Shurmur was like, you know what, we're going to dice you up, kind of going back to what you had said about their week three base defense in terms of what the New York Giants displayed?
Yeah, I think you've nailed it. I think it's mostly more or less by design, right? If we know we're going to get into 12 and they're going to spin into Bear and insert a safety, like we're not going to be there is a aspect of a coordinator, right? If you're on offense, of it doesn't matter. We're going big on big and we're still going to run the ball against them, right? But I more or less say that that's like a culture thing that you say. But when it really comes to it, you don't do it because you're not stupid, right? Like, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, this is who we are. We're tough. And you preach it during training camp. But, like, you're there to win the game, not, like, prove that you're tough. So I really do feel like after watching the tape, though, that, like, I'm like, man, Teddy, to me, did enough of being smart with the football and understanding where to go to where it's like, does this Broncos team turn into a 1st-and-10 passing team? And if they do, are we really that bad for it? Like, does it matter? If ultimately you control the ball after, right, and your feet are moving forward, do you care how you did it? To me, I'm one of those guys that, you know, and again, I'm probably more new school, right? But I don't really care. To me, a bubble screen and running power, if you get 6 yards, it's 6 yards. Who really cares how you do it? And I think there's something to be said about that of like, listen, if we can trust Teddy to be smart with the football, maybe we are 1st-and-10 pass team. And then guess what? Hey, it's, you know, 2nd-and-7. And then we run the ball. Maybe that's how we break tendencies and get to a more effective run game. So I don't want to say it's a full blown concern yet, but you know, I noticed the same thing you did, which was, hey, we weren't getting kind of the same traditional push that maybe we were used to last year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that in going along with a lot of what we've been talking about here, Pat Shurmur and Teddy Bridgewater combined, you know, one of the things that I feel like, and I talked about this with Cody on a previous episode, one of the things I would like to see more of, a little bit more involvement from the running backs in the passing game. I think that there's an opportunity there. So Tim, kind of two questions in one here. Number one, what is it that you would like to see more of going forward? And number two, you know, we saw a lot of fourth down conversions this week from the Broncos. Three fourth down conversions. What does that do for you as a quarterback, for your coach to say, all right, hey, go out there and make this play. I trust you. Those are kind of my final two questions for you.
Well, the quarterback deal, I feel like it's more specifically encouraging because it's an old guy on the sideline. And I don't want to be mean to Vic, right? But it's one thing for McVay to say, hey, stay out there. It's a whole nother for Vic Fangio to say, stay out there, in my opinion, right? You got to – old school NFL guy who's now just hyper aggressive, which I think everybody needs to love, right? Because to me, if we stay like that, man, let's keep it rolling. In terms of that, hey, how can we get the running backs in the pass game? I think you'll see a couple more free releases, maybe in those kind of stick concepts that they ran earlier. I do want to say, I think the Broncos busted on a screen. I think that there was a screen to the boundary that they were trying to set up off a double, like it was like fake jet, fake the handoff. And then I think they were trying to get back to the screen and Teddy gets pressured, but the left tackle kind of kicked. It was a weird situation, but that's where I think the Broncos need to involve their backs. I think they need to up the screen game and they need to up the creative way to get to screen game. They need to show, you know, some of that, hey, GT or whatever, and then screen it all the way on the backside. There's some really creative stuff that's going around the NFL right now that Shurmur could rip off, and a really creative way to get those guys a touch with linemen out in front. And honestly, I think like with the way Melvin had a screen that popped for some good gain. And then the Williams kid, I think you got to be impressed with how he ran the football. I'd love to see him get the ball in the screen game. And if you feel confident scatting him out, go ahead and do it. But I think like getting those guys the ball in the screen game and being more creative with how you set up slow screen – could really be that next evolution for this offense.
Absolutely. A lot of great insight from Tim Jenkins at TJenkinsElite on Twitter. One of the best follows out there when it comes to Broncos offensive film breakdown and more. Not to mention, not just Broncos. He breaks down guys like Trevor Lawrence. He breaks down the big name quarterbacks, Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, on all things QB. A great YouTube channel you should be checking out right away if you love film breakdowns. Tim Jenkins has you covered, and you're going to get him here on Tuesdays. We're going to call it Tim Jenkins Tuesdays. Here on the Lockdown Broncos podcast, you get all that action here. But Tim, my friend, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join both Sarah and myself here today.
Appreciate you guys.